fiction feeds your fantasy. A little fiction dampens the reality. A little fiction. Hello and welcome to The Writing Cast. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 88, Situational Ethics. We're always given the advice as fiction writers to not preach to the reader. If you're going to preach, write a sermon. And this is true, but stories do make a point. More in older stories than today, true. If you look at a story such as The Strange Tale of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, it is an outcrying against the Enlightenment. It is an outcrying against scientific progress. It is an attempt to stop the hands of time. It is a wish to stop the flow of time. And that's why science must be cast as a villain in the story. Very often, as we write our stories, consciously or unconsciously, we are setting up a situation in which the villains have to be villains, in which the good guys have to be good guys. But if you have a really good villain, you can always turn the situation around. Let's take a look at one of the debates going on today, and that's the whole healthcare reform thing. And let's say you wanted to deal with it in fiction. You'd have two politicians, one for, one against, arguing it out in Washington. And then you could set up a side story of a family. And you can make either of them the hero based on how that side story works. Let's say your side story is of a fairly wealthy man who is on a very rare and expensive chemotherapy drug, but it's working for him. And he's getting better. And he's got a really good shot of kicking the cancer and living many, many, many years. And he's listening to the whole debate, and it's fighting back and forth. And one of the big concerns, of course, is that if healthcare became socialized, then there would be more rationing of resources. So let's say that he's on a huge dose of chemotherapy medication. And because of an increased demand, there's a decreased supply. So his doctor tries to lower his prescription. And on a lower dosage, it's not working. And he tries adding in this, adding in that, but things are not working. And there just isn't the supply anymore because now there's more people with access to it. And you watch this character, he's a really decent guy, living his life, raising his family, taking care of his kids. As he's declining, as he's failing, as he's still listening to the debate, still listening to people trying to overthrow it, fight it back, get it to, you know, end the socialized health care, and watching him fade and no longer able to get to the supplies he needs to live. And as he lies in his hospital room facing his last moments, the debates, and the guy who managed to push through the reform is boasting of his great victory for his constituents as the man takes his last breath. And you can paint him very easily as a villain this way. Now we'll just change the backstory. Same two guys, same debate. Now you've got a guy who discovers he needs an expensive chemotherapy drug, and he really cannot pay for it. If he gave up paying his mortgage and gave up buying food, he really still couldn't quite afford it. And he's got his family that he's got to take care of. And they live in a modest house. They try to squirrel money away as best they can. They're not extravagant people, but they really can't manage it. So they cut off, they cancel all vacations, of course. They cut off any unnecessary service. They try to keep some dial-up internet up for the kids, but they know they're not going to be able to keep broadband going. They cancel cable, and there's a big scene of the kids getting used to rabbit ears and how you adjust those again, because they've never seen them in their whole lives. And they realize that that's just not going to do it. And they sell one of the cars. And so now they have one car for drive him to work. The wife drives him to work, drives back, takes the kids and does her whole thing, drives to work, goes to his job, picks him up, brings him back. And they realize that even that, they're not going to manage it. So they cut back on all the activities for their children. And they realize that that's not going to do it. And they start cutting back on groceries. And they realize that's not going to do it. And they realize that as they're trying to make things go and not dip too heavily into their savings, they're going to face the decision by the end of the year of either being homeless or not fighting the illness anymore and letting the disease kill him. And as they're sitting there trying to decide this impossible, ogre's decision, do they want to be homeless or do they want him to not have the medicine. The same debate comes on TV. And the other side is arguing their great victory in stopping the program that would have gotten him the medicine. So again, you can paint your evidence, as it were, one way or the other by setting up the situation in the story. One of my favorite examples of this is totally appropriate for the season. It's a Christmas carol. Everybody knows the story. You've got old Ebenezer Scrooge. He's very, very tight with his money. He's not extravagant to his employees. He's not extravagant to himself. He watches every penny. Now, the story is very lyrical and very poetic with the ghosts that come to visit Ebenezer. But let's leave the lyrical poetry behind for a moment. Go for gritty reality. Let's say that as the story opens, you've got the same story opening, the same situation. Ebenezer goes home. He has his sensible, modest meal. He knows that 1 hour sleep before midnight equals 2 hours of sleep after. He goes to bed early. He gets a good night's rest. He wakes up and he finds that the London market is in decline. And everybody's out shopping, 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 and feasting, feasting, feasting. And, oh, we must celebrate. Let us put lights everywhere. And let us light a billion candles all over the place. And he instead is making certain that all of his outstanding invoices are paid. He wants to get his money before there's any kind of a problem. And everybody's against him for this. You know, what are you doing? It's Christmas. How could you be demanding payments of everything right now? But he does, and he gets it. And everybody feasts and eats to extravaganza and throws out the leftovers because they make more than they could possibly eat. And he holds back tighter and holds back tighter. And then the economy completely collapses. Whatever problem was brewing that he's been watching, because we do know he's a shrewd businessman, whatever problems he's been watching come to a fruition. And now you've got people who've been extravagant, extravagant, extravagant that aren't in a position to weather whatever has happened, the financial problem that has hit. And you've got one guy in town who actually can. And he then opens up and starts helping the people who are now in a position not to help themselves. And he starts teaching them to be frugal, to be modest, to be wise with their money. And he becomes the unsung hero of the story, the hero, because the situation is different. Arguably, you could have the same lyrical poetry as ghosts that represent the various deadly sins come and visit Puff and visit Bob Cratchit, speaking to him of the sin of gluttony and the sin of envy, because he envies Scrooge's wealth. Just by changing not the characters, they're still themselves, but the situation, you can change who stands as a hero and who stands in the villain of a great work like this. The other, of course, fantastic example, but it works out as changing who's the hero and who's the villain, is in Pride and Prejudice, where Darcy is at first the villain of the whole disaster with Mr. Wickham, and he has deprived Mr. Wickham of what his Darcy's father, the senior Mr. Darcy, has bequeathed to his beloved child of his heart and his will. And then we get Darcy's side of the story, and the situation completely, although the facts do not change in the case, additional facts bring it to light that make Darcy more the hero. So in the original, it was, in Wickham's version of the story, it was all this was left to him and a situation where that he might enter the clergy was left to him by Darcy's father, and this was in Darcy's father's will, and this was what it was meant to be. When Darcy tells the story, Wickham had already bought that out to become an attorney, to ask for training, then decided he didn't want it, and wanted the clergy position on top of it, and tried to dishonor and bring into trouble Darcy's beloved sister Georgiana by learning more about the situation, by just changes in the situation. The characters are still the same. Wickham still has the appearance of being quite the gentleman. His personality doesn't change. We just understand it differently. Darcy is still cold and aloof. And we he's still very prideful at this point in the story, but we understand him better. And we understand the situation better. Going back to the healthcare debate, the character who's predicting, hey, look, if we do this, more people will be taken care of and everybody will be happier and healthier, is pushing for it for that prediction. The guy who's predicting, oh, there's going to be shortages, there's going to be rationing, he's making, and he's against it for that person, it, per that purpose, is making predictions. Your characters are constantly making decisions based on what they're predicting the future to be and how they want it to work out for themselves and for their societies. Very often, two characters will want different things because they see the future differently. If you look at the anime series for Rurouni Kenshin and go back a little bit into the history of the characters of Saito and Kenshin, they both had different predictions for how Japan was, what was best for Japan. Saito as villain, as he was, or Saito as antagonist in the time of the revolution, believed that Tokugawa was best for Japan. Kenshin, as protagonist during that time, believed that Meiji was best for Japan. And they both could make good arguments. It's another example of good versus good, or fully realized person trying to get by versus fully realized person trying to get by. And it ends up being a lot richer and more engrossing than a simple tale of good versus evil. Good versus good is one of the most powerful story archetypes out there. So your prompt for this time is to look over your own story and see if you can find a moment early on where the villain could have been the hero. And then look over one of the greater works of literature, any of them, and see if you can find the moment where the villain might have turned it, might have, from looking at it from a different perspective, if the situation were different, without changing anything of the character, might have been the hero. And that should wrap us up for this time. Have a very Merry Christmas and a healthy and a happy New Year. And until next time, feed the muse and keep writing. Some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
Look up and reach down to a box of dreams and pick anyone you like. Choose the one that will make you the happiest, but you gotta picture it.